They think we're lazy.
They think we're weak-willed.
They think we're entitled.
They think we're selfish.
They think we don't care about anybody but ourselves.
We are compassionate.
We are resourceful.
We are capable.
We want to make a difference in the world.
We are underestimated.
In previous episodes, we've talked about political division in America, how it affects elections, and how it shapes the way people view each other. In this episode, we're focusing on what that division looks like when it becomes personal. Politics today has reached a point where disagreements often turn into hostility, and people are sometimes targeted or attacked just for their opinions.
The death of Charlie Kirk brought a lot of attention to how intense political tension has become in the country. Regardless of someone's political views, violence is never an acceptable response to a disagreement. After his death, reactions from the public showed how quickly political events turn into arguments, blame, and further division instead of reflection.
I'm Asia.
I'm Bailey.
I'm Colton.
And I'm Chelsea. And this is Crashing the Parties.
When we scroll through social media, we're constantly exposed to an overwhelming amount of content, like book reviews, trending dances, and posts from our favorite content creators and influencers. These individuals hold a surprising amount of influence, and we often find ourselves listening to and adopting their opinions. In today's world, many people shape their views based on what they see online, whether it's opinions about a TV character, an artist, or even more significant issues like politics. Across nearly every platform, the rise of political influencers has become especially noticeable. As this trend has grown, certain figures have risen to the top by building mass followings and shaping political conversations, particularly among the youth. These influencers do more than just share their opinion. They actively engage with their audience by debating opposing viewpoints. By examining well-known influences on both sides of the political spectrum, such as Charlie Kirk and Matt Walsh on the conservative side, and Dean Withers and Harry Sisson on the liberal side, it becomes clear how social media has transformed political engagement and how these individuals play a key role in influencing public opinion.
One figure from the more liberal side that has made a huge impact on the younger generation is Dean Withers. You might hear his name while scrolling through social media, or maybe sometimes his lives pop up. So who is he actually?
Dean Withers is a popular Gen Z political commentator and content creator who has gained massive popularity for his debate-style content. His rise to fame happened very quickly compared to many other creators online. Dean began creating political content back in 2023, and by 2024, he was already being featured on Jubilee Media's YouTube series Surrounded, where he engaged in political debates with conservatives. This appearance created major attention around him and introduced his name to a much larger audience. Going from someone with little public recognition to someone whose name now carries a political message is huge. However, even though he became known for debating on the liberal side, Dean was not always on that side politically. Born in 2004 and raised in Colorado with a conservative background, his views later changed over time. He has shared that his upbringing pushed him to educate himself further on political and social issues, which eventually led to a shift towards more liberal beliefs.
Dean is not officially part of any major political organizations and has built most of his platform as an independent creator. This has allowed him to grow his audience in his own way without needing support from larger groups or media companies. His main form of content is live streams on TikTok and Instagram, along with short form videos on those same platforms. During his live streams, he often brings people onto calls to debate political issues or defend beliefs they support. These live debates have become one of the main reasons for his popularity. Along with this, his short-form videos are usually focused on spreading awareness about political events happening in the United States and making sure young people stay informed. Over the course of his social media career, Dean has built a huge following across multiple platforms. As of April 2026, he has around 5.5 million followers on TikTok, which is his main platform and has been the center of his success. On Instagram, he has also gained around 3.1 million followers, while on YouTube, he has approximately 641,000 subscribers. Lastly, on X, formerly known as Twitter, he has about 488,000 followers.
Another popular liberal influencer that has made major impact on the younger generation is Harry Sisson. His name is common to see when scrolling through TikTok, Instagram, or X, especially during major political events or elections. Along with Dean Withers, Harry Sisson is a popular Gen Z political commentator and content creator. He is widely known for his fast-paced political videos and a very adamant support for the Democratic leaders. His rise in online politics happened quickly during the 2020 presidential election, when many young voters were turning to social media instead of traditional news sources. Born in 2002, Sisson is a part of the Gen Z trend of political voices that communicate through short videos, trends, and direct online engagement. Since then, he has grown into one of the most recognized liberal political influences online. He later graduated from New York University and has been invited to the White House to meet with officials and help engage younger voters. Harry is firmly on the Democratic and liberal side of politics. He has openly described himself as a pit bull for the Democratic Party because how strongly he defends Democratic candidates and policies. Much of his content includes support for leaders such as Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, while also criticizing Donald Trump and conservative viewpoints. His content is often directed towards the younger audience that are getting into politics.
Unlike some creators who work completely independently, Harry Sisson has also worked alongside several political organizations. Federal Election Commission filings have shown that he has been paid for social media consulting by Democracy Defense Action, a liberal political action committee. He has also worked with Media's Touch, a media organization known for online political messaging. In addition to that, he has previously been involved with the Institute for Youth and Policy, a youth advocacy group. While he's not officially employed by the Democratic National Committee, he has worked closely with the DNC and the White House on digital outreach efforts. Harry is not just an influencer online like most might see him as, but rather also someone who has become involved in a larger political strategy. His main form of content is short-form videos on TikTok, Instagram Reels, and YouTube Shorts. He often posts about breaking political news, reacts to statements from conservative figures, or explains why he supports Democratic policies. Over time, his style of content has helped him gain a massive audience across multiple platforms. As of April 2026, Harry Sisson has around 2.1 million followers on TikTok, 1.1 million followers on Instagram, about 469,000 subscribers on YouTube, and around 373,000 followers on X.
Along with the liberal influencers, there's also the conservative figures. A name you might recognize who is part of the major conservative impact of youth is Matt Walsh. His name is commonly seen while scrolling through YouTube, X, TikTok, or Instagram, especially when political or cultural debates are trending online. Matt Walsh is a right-wing political commentator and media personality who has become one of the most recognized voices in the modern conservative movement. Before becoming a large online figure, he began his career in talk radio and later expanded into blogging, podcasting, and video commentary. Over time, his audience grew rapidly as more people turned to social media for political content. Matt Walsh is firmly on the conservative side and right-wing side of the political spectrum. His actual views are strongly rooted in traditional Catholic beliefs and social conservatism. Much of his comment focuses on defending traditional family values while criticizing progressive ideas. He is especially outspoken on issues such as abortion, gender identity debates, and multiculturalism. Unlike some commentators who try to appear neutral, Walsh ensures that his beliefs are very clear. Instead of trying to convert left-leaning people to the right side, Walsh aims his content towards people who share similar ideology. This has made him both highly popular with supporters and highly controversial with critics.
Matt Walsh is not an independent creator, as he has worked through several major conservative media organizations. He is most closely connected with the Daily Wire, where he hosts content and has become one of the company's leading personalities. He has also been involved with DW Books, a publishing branch connected to the company. Earlier in his career, he was associated with Blaze Media, another conservative media network. These organizations are where he expanded his platform. He used his podcast, articles, books, and video content to reach millions.
His main form of content is long-form commentary, social media clips, books, and documentaries. He hosts The Matt Walsh Show, where he discusses current political and cultural topics from a conservative perspective. He is also known for his documentaries such as What is a Woman and Am I a Racist, which created major reactions online and in political media. In addition to that, he uses short clips on TikTok, Instagram, X, and YouTube to spread his ideas to younger audiences. Over the course of his online career, he has gained a massive following across multiple platforms. As of early 2026, Matt Walsh has around 3.4 million subscribers on YouTube, 4 million followers on X, 1.9 million followers on Instagram, and 1.1 million followers on TikTok. His rise shows how conservative voices have also used social media to build strong influence on younger generations.
Another major conservative figure who used the same strategy to reach young audiences was the late Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a leading figure in the modern American conservative movement, especially within the MAGA wing of the Republican Party. His name became widely recognized through social media, political events, and college campus appearances. Born in 1993, he rose to prominence at a young age as a political activist, media commentator, and supporter of Donald Trump. Unlike many political figures who gained influence later in life, Kirk built his name while still very young, which helped him connect with students and younger voters. Going from a teenager with political ideas to one of the most recognized conservative youth leaders in America was a major rise. As many of us know, Charlie Kirk was firmly on the conservative side of politics and was an open supporter of Donald Trump. Much of his content focused on promoting free markets, limited government, and conservative social values. He often criticized liberal policies and Democratic leaders while encouraging younger people to become active in right-wing politics. His style was direct, often meant to challenge people who disagreed with him. This helped build a loyal following among younger conservatives who felt their beliefs were underrepresented in schools and online spaces.
Unlike some creators who stay only online, Charlie Kirk built influence through organizations and activism. He was the founder of Turning Point USA, commonly known as TPUSA. In 2012, at just 18 years old, Kirk co-founded the organization alongside Bill Montgomery. The mission of TPUSA was to identify, educate, and mobilize students around the ideas of freedom, free markets, and limited government. Under Kirk's leadership, the organization grew rapidly and became one of the most influential conservative youth groups in the country. TPUSA expanded to thousands of high schools and college campuses, giving conservative students a political network and platform. To help spread his word, he created content in the forms of podcasts, debate events, and short social media clips. He hosted The Charlie Kirk Show, where he discussed politics, current events, and conservative ideas. He also became very popular for his campus outreach events called Prove Me Wrong. We invited students to debate him face-to-face on political issues. Clips of these debates often spread quickly on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, helping him reach even larger audiences. Just like Dean, he also featured on an episode of Jubilee's media YouTube series, Surrounded. Clips from this helped spread his message and what he stood for right before the 2024 election.
Over the course of his career, he built a massive following across multiple platforms. As of April 2026, Charlie Kirk's social media accounts have around 12.5 million followers on Instagram, 5 million subscribers on YouTube, and 6.2 million followers on X. While TPUSA's channels together added over 10 million more followers, his overall impact was creating a large and organized youth movement around conservative politics while becoming one of the strongest voices in modern American political culture. Looking for a trusted auto body repair in Buchanan, Michigan? With over 50 years of experience, Witherow Auto Body has been helping drivers get back on the road with quality workmanship and dependable service. From collision repair and dent removal to expert paint work, we do it all. When your vehicle needs professional care, choose the shop with a proven track record. Call Witherow Auto Body today at 269-231-2528. That's 269-231-2528.
As mentioned earlier, Charlie took it a step further and also hosted events at campuses. At one of these events where Kirk was debating college students at Utah Valley University, a shot was fired from a nearby building. This shot landed in Charlie Kirk's neck, ultimately killing him. Chaos soon emerged, with students running for safety. This did not stop the FBI from immediately trying to find the culprit. Multiple leads were found after the frenzy of the shooting. Within an hour of the shot being fired, a man was detained and arrested. He admitted to shooting Charlie. However, upon further investigation, it was proved that it was not him who committed this murder. He did, however, have child pornography on his phone and was arrested and given 15 years for a child pornography-related crime. After a couple other false leads, the FBI found Tyler Robinson, who is currently the most likely alleged killer. although as of April 2026, he still hasn't been given an official verdict by a judge.
Tyler Robinson was raised in a traditionally conservative family in the Utah suburbs. A high school classmate who wishes to remain unknown spoke out, saying that in high school, not only was his family diehard Trump supporters, but he was as well. They also say that he was very into video games, specifically game design. He was quiet, but ultimately fun to be around. After high school, he was given a scholarship to Utah State University, where he briefly attended. After his first semester, he took a leave of absence for reasons still unclear. He never returned. He then enrolled in a technical school and got his apprentice electrician license in 2022. More recently, he has been renting an apartment in St. George. A couple of his neighbors spoke out about interactions with him. Most say that he was quiet and kept to himself, and never really seemed to have strong views in politics. Some even assumed he was a Republican. However, one of his family members spoke out about recent interactions that could change the narrative.
At a recent family diner, Robinson mentioned how Kirk would be hosting an event at Utah Valley University soon. Robinson stated that he didn't like Charlie Kirk, or the viewpoints he stood for. He even stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. At the time of the shooting, Tyler was living with a roommate who also appears to be his romantic partner, Lance Twiggs. Both of the roommates are very into video games. There's also evidence that Lance might have a history with drug and alcohol abuse. Lance Twiggs is also transgender female, which could allude to Tyler's sudden change of political views, especially since Kirk often spoke against LGBTQIA+. Another one of Lance's family members said he hates conservatives and Christians. Although it's not how he was raised, they also stated he was much more angry over the last year. After Charlie was shot, Lance and Tyler began texting. These texts have been released to the public. We are going to read them for you.
Drop what you are doing, look under my keyboard.
Tyler texted Lance. Lance then looked under the keyboard and found a handwritten note that read, "I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Cook, and I'm going to take it." Lance quickly texted back.
What? You're joking, right?
I'm still okay, my love, but stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet. Shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I gotta grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I'm so sorry to involve you.
You weren't the one who did it, right?
I am. I'm sorry.
I thought they caught the person.
No, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering.
Why?
Why did I do it?
Yeah.
I had enough of this hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I'm able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it.
How long have you been planning this?
A bit over a week, I believe. I can get close to it, but there's a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it. I'm wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got to my vehicle. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring it back, Grandpa's rifle. I don't even know if it has a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about those prints. I had to leave it in a bush where I changed outfits. Didn't have the ability or time to bring it with. I might have to abandon it and hope they don't find prints. How the fuck will I explain losing it to my old man? Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. Remember how I was engraving bullets? The fucking messages are mostly a big meme. If I see notices bulge uwu on Fox News, I might have a stroke, alright? I'm gonna have to leave it. That really fucking sucks. Judging from today, I'd say Grandpa's gun does just fine. I don't know. I think it was a 2K scope.
Some time passes, and then Tyler sends more text.
Delete this exchange. My dad wants photos of the rifle. He says Grandpa wants to know who has what. The feds released a photo of the rifle, and it is very unique. He's calling me right now, not answering. Since Trump got into office, my dad has been pretty diehard MAGA. I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff. You are all I worry about, love.
I'm much more worried about you.
Don't talk to the media, please. Don't take any interviews or make any comments. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent.
Those were the last of the texts that have been released to the public. From these texts, a couple of things seem pretty apparent. First off, Charlie has openly admitted to killing Charlie Kirk, and it was in a way due to Kirk's extreme political opinions. It also confirms that Tyler does in fact have a very Republican father, meaning more than likely at some point in Tyler Robinson's life, he strayed away from his family's beliefs and found his own. What is incredibly hard to believe is that Tyler Robinson believed in his beliefs so much they went lengths to kill over them. Is it possible hateful media has made Tyler believe that killing Charlie Kirk was really the most honorable thing to do in the situation?
What would a person have to believe to truly think someone deserves to die over the things they said online? One thing is for sure, their views would have to be incredibly extreme. Extreme views aren't healthy for our country's political landscape, but yet they are being normalized at alarming rates. 90% of the adults in the United States think that the party opposing theirs has gone too far with their rhetoric.
These polarized views are causing tons of problems in our country, with political violence being the most severe. This extreme polarization of the two-party system creates ideal situations for acts of political violence. Hateful speech gets higher views on social media platforms, meaning it's seen more. This causes the average consumer to truly think everyone else thinks that hatefully. It creates an us versus them effect that causes more hate than there needs to be. This is becoming more of an issue recently. In the past couple of years, there has been Charlie Kirk's assassination, two assassination attempts on Donald Trump, and of other shootings and violent threats. Since 2011, researchers have noticed a sharp increase in amounts of political violence in our country. Despite this alarming rise of violence, there is not a lot of talk of change. Our country needs a true wake-up call.
When Charlie Kirk got shot, it affected people in many different ways. But did it give citizens a wake-up call to realize what the actual hell is going on in our country? Did citizens care enough to see that his death marks another time in history where someone gets murdered for openly talking about their political beliefs and views? No, we didn't. His death was met with immediate bipartisan condemnation from major political figures by both parties with statements affirming that violence has no place in our democracy. But just because we don't agree with his beliefs, opinions, and his views doesn't mean we should be killed over it. When we take a step back and look at Charlie Kirk by just who he was a man who spoke about his political beliefs and views openly and was killed for it. This is not okay whatsoever. And citizens to be happy for someone to kill Kirk, to then post on social media about it is absolutely insane to even think about doing. But why are we bringing this up? Why is his death still relevant when he died 6 months ago? It is still relevant in today's news because his death should have been a wake-up call for American citizens, but it wasn't.
Reactions on social media were split down the middle. Supporters of Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA saw him as a martyr. While people who hate him and his organization were celebrating his death, because they do not like his controversial ideas. And because of these split reactions, the aftermath of his death was flooded with misinformation and conspiracy theories, such as false claims about the shooter's identity and baseless theories that the event was a staged psyop, which confused the public's understanding about the tragedy.
Charlie Kirk's death has become a massive internet phenomenon, but not in the way you would expect. The assassination itself was deeply intertwined with internet meme culture and extreme political polarization. Many people treated his death as a joke or created memes due to Tyler Robinson's specific actions, Kirk's own controversial legacy, and the modern-day approach to online tragedies. This event to some was a shitpost assassination. A shitpost assassination is a high-stakes act of violence that is performed or accompanied by a series of ironic, nonsensical internet memes and deeply rooted extreme online culture.
Tyler Robinson allegedly inscribed the bullet casing with obscure internet references, with the fired casing being "Notice bulges, uwu, what's this?" from a decade-old furry community meme, as well as three unfired rounds being "Hey fascists, catch," followed by a series of arrows from a sci-fi video game called Helldivers 2. "O bella ciao, ciao ciao," a lyric from an Italian folk song that was historically adopted as an anthem of the anti-fascist resistance during World War II, and "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO," which is a generic internet joke.
Following his death, social media was flooded with Kirkification memes, where his face was swapped onto various celebrities, fictional characters, and pop culture figures to mock his public persona. Also, various ironic AI-generated tributes were made, like the We Are Charlie Kirk ballad, that skyrocketed in popularity on many different platforms. These videos often featured other conservative figures tearfully singing, which people shared as a form of meme slop to highlight the absurdity of the situation. Some commentators noted that younger audiences on the internet used memes to reject the glorification narrative pushed by political leaders. They use irony to strip the event of its gravity, treating a major political tragedy as just another piece of viral content.
People always jump to social media and post to show what side they are on. And in the rush to be a part of the conversation, the truth gets buried underneath the desire to score a political or social point. People feel it's much easier to write good riddance about a public figure than it is to say it to another person's face. But screens act as a buffer to the world and a barrier that removes nonverbal cues and creates a sense of anonymity, which causes them to dehumanize others and to have no empathy towards them.
Even on both sides, people often feel that being brutally honest about a person's flaws immediately after their death is a form of justice or truth-telling, when in full honesty, it's completely rude to even do so. But when you post about the flaws, the consequences of what you posted is far worse than what you think. Whether it is your boss calling you out, a loss of followers on your social media, or just a moment of quiet reflection where you realize you looked cruel. The social cost eventually outweighs the dopamine hit of the original post.
Then, you'll see people twist what they say for grief to make the person a martyr, while the other party brings up their worst mistakes to ensure they aren't remembered well. Both sides are essentially fighting over who gets to write the history books by using a fresh tragedy as the battlefield. This is a chaotic cycle of pressure, digital dehumanization, and regret. It happens every day now, with our world becoming more and more politically divided. It won't get any better if we don't stop it. All you see now on social media is politics, even if it isn't during election season. Political stuff happens every day, and posting on social media by spewing muddy truths and lies about what happened is not okay.
When you are posting on social media about politics, people can have a binary bias. It is when the human brain oversimplifies complex information about two mutually exclusive categories to conserve mental energy. In today's highly stressed political climate, people can assume you're full MAGA or full liberal. This us versus them mentality serves as a psychological shortcut to provide a sense of belonging and moral clarity. This is a phenomenon where partisans don't just agree on policies, but harbor a deep-seated dislike and distrust for the other party. For highly polarized individuals, any praise for the other party is seen as betrayal of their own party. Also, political affiliation has increasingly merged with personal identity, similar to race or religion.
Because your identity is at stake, people use motivated reasoning to filter out the nuance of viewing political stance as a test of loyalty rather than a debate on merits. This bias leads people to see members of the opposing party to be all the exact same, while viewing their own party as diverse and nuanced. If you state one thing you like about what the Republicans are doing, people automatically saw you with being a Republican. Same goes for the Democrats. Even if you don't like everything the party is doing, they will still categorize you into that party. Social media algorithms and sensationalist news prioritize extreme viewpoints, which leads people to believe that everyone is, or should be, on one of the two parties. This completely destroys the expectation of being able to find middle ground or a compromise.
At the end of the day, political disagreement is supposed to be part of a functioning democracy. People are not always going to agree, and that's normal. But what we're seeing now is something different. A disagreement turning into hostility, and in some cases, people losing sight of basic respect for human life because of political beliefs.
The death of Charlie Kirk and the reactions that followed showed how divided and reactive our political environment has become. No matter what side someone is on, violence is never a solution, and it should never be justified by political opinion. If anything, this is a reminder that while politics matter, the way we treat each other matters more.
Thank you.
underestimated, Crashing the Parties was researched, written, and produced by Colton, Asia, and Bailey. Intro music by Haley. All other music by Shane Yoder. Our show artwork was created by Chelsea, and our series artwork was created by Colton. The Underestimated Podcast is a production created in the Brandywine Community Schools Broadcasting CTE program. We want to thank you for listening and a huge thank you to our community sponsors for supporting us and helping to fund our work. Please make sure to leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Underestimated.